Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. This is the reading of God's word. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? Why have you made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook, drag them away with their net, and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they offer a sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their fishing net. Because through these things their catch is large and their food is plentiful. Will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing? Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. It clearly shows us your will for us. It shows us Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. It shows us our eternal reality of heaven, who we are in Christ now and forever. What is true of us now and forever. And Father, only in your word we will see these things. So Father, grant us an ear to hear your word, that we may hear your voice through your word, as you tell us these wonderful stories of Jesus. And as we hear your word, let us grow. Grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us witness him more and more. Let us love you more and more. Bless us and receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We will finish chapter 1 today, and next time we'll begin chapter 2. In chapter 1, Habakkuk does not fully understand the gospel. He voices his dissatisfaction to God. There is not even a hint of dissatisfaction of God in all of Paul's letters, but here we see Habakkuk makes complaints to God. He sees violence, iniquity, wickedness, destruction, strife, and contention everywhere. The law is ignored and justice never upheld. Righteous are oppressed by the wicked, and justice comes out perverted. At the first glance, the complaints of Habakkuk might seem legitimate. But at more careful look, we are able to see that all of his complaints are about this world and the things of this world. His complaints are about the things not going well in this world, according to his sinful desires. His complaints are coming from his failure to be completely satisfied with God and God alone. The complaints that he makes, they are coming from his failure to see what eternal things, the heavenly things, that God has already given to his people. All Habakkuk sees is this world. His complaints, they are coming from his dissatisfaction of God, who, Habakkuk thinks, will not protect his country, his wealth, his family, and all that he holds dear in this world. Bottom line is that he wants this world more than the other world that our Lord has accomplished, or in his case, will accomplish, because he lives in the Old Testament time. He is this world-centered and self-centered, rather than God-centered and heaven-centered. But thanks to be God, that God does not leave Habakkuk alone. He loves him, and God will make him a man of faith. In chapter 1, verse 5 through 11, which we have looked at last time, God tells the prophet that God will raise a mighty country, that is, the Babylonians, to invade Judah and completely destroy it. God promises the prophet Habakkuk that things are going to get worse than ever. Here we see how much God loves Habakkuk. God teaches the prophet not to put his hope in this world. God guides the prophet to forsake this world. And the question is always this: do I love God, or do I love what worldly things I believe he will give to me? Is that God himself that we love, or is what he gives us that we love? Even if the situation gets worse, am I going to love God and trust him and be completely satisfied with him, God, and God alone? That is the issue. God's ways and God's thoughts are not like ours. God's work always demands our faith, our complete trust in him. This is God's design. I mean, whatever that God does today, if it is so visible, then we will believe it. But God's design is that his work always demands faith. This is how he does things. Many times, the wealth and the things of this world become distractions. And in chapter 1, Habakkuk has to learn. And you and I, we have to learn. He has to learn that the true righteous person will live by faith. Now we come to verse 12. Let's read verse 12 and 13. Are you, God, not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? Who will not die? You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? You know, when we read this verse 12, it seems Habakkuk's faith is a pretty good one. I mean, look at that verse. Look at what it says. Habakkuk knows that God is everlasting, that he is from eternity, that God is a covenant God. And Habakkuk even calls God my God, my Holy One. He calls God, O Rock. He knows God as his refuge, a place of security and shelter. Now, when you hear this, what do you think? How good is Habakkuk's faith? Here, Habakkuk is saying, I believe in the eternal, everlasting God. I believe God who is holy and righteous. He is my God, my Holy One, whose eyes are too pure to approve evil. He cannot look at wickedness. I believe he will protect us. We will not be destroyed. He is raising up the Babylonians to judge us and warn us, but through it all, we will triumph. We will be prosperous. We will not die. We will not be destroyed. My religion, my nation, my people, my family will not be destroyed. We will come out victorious. Amen. This is what he's saying. In one sense, he is correct. Then what is wrong with this? What is wrong is this. Habakkuk understands the works of God only in terms of this world. Yeah, ultimately in heaven we will triumph. But that's not how Habakkuk sees things. It's only in terms of this world. He believes that his everlasting God will bring destruction initially, but he believes that God will eventually bring prosperity to his country and his people in this world. He believes that his everlasting God will eventually make him and his country successful and affluent in this world. See, his focus is still on this world and what God would give him in this world. But when his focus is on this world, his complaints will continue. We see this even from what he says in our passage. Even as this prophet confesses his faith, that confession is mixed with his complaints. Did you see that? Even as he confesses that God is holy and he's everlasting, he says, your eyes are too pure to approve evil and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? Do you see that even his confession is mixed with his complaints? Because his whole focus is on this world. And we see how Habakkuk continues to tell God, from verse 14, how wicked the Babylonians are. The Bible is really clear. None righteous, not even one. But see, we will get to this more clearly next time. But Habakkuk's understanding at this moment is that they are righteous and Babylonians are wicked. Aren't all of them deserve? Don't they deserve God's eternal punishment? Not just the Babylonians. Only reason that Christians do not receive God's judgment is Jesus Christ has received that God's judgment in our places. It's not because we ourselves are worthy of his blessing. Verse 14 and 15, why have you made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook, drag them away with their net, and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. The Babylonians come and conquer without mercy. Now here, their work, Babylonians' work of destruction, is compared to fishing. Their conquering is like a fisherman gathering fish in his net. They conquer and conquer and they destroy and destroy and they rejoice and they are glad. And verse 16a, therefore they offer a sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their fishing net. They worship their might, their weapon, their power. Their military might is their God. They are arrogant and proud. They pride in their power. Verse 16b, because through these things their catch is large and their food is plentiful. They become more mighty and powerful. They conquer and become bigger. And verse 17, will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing? Habakkuk questions here. And maybe you're questioning the same thing. Is it okay for this kind of people to continually slay nations without sparing? Is it okay for this prideful and wicked Babylonians to slay us, your people? Is that okay for you, God? Is that okay? Is that okay for you, God, to allow this to happen? God, we are your people. Is that okay for us to be destroyed? No, we must prosper in the land that you have given to us. Do you see it? Habakkuk's faith is this world-centered. He believes that God's purpose is to make his people successful and affluent in this world. And when that does not happen, Habakkuk is questioning God's holiness and righteousness. Is this good faith that Habakkuk has? How about your faith? How is it? What do you believe that God will do for you in this world? That is the question. What do you really believe that God will do for you in this world? And when those things do not come true, what do you do? Do you question God's goodness? Do you question his holiness and righteousness? Do you question his faithfulness and maybe his love for you? Do you question them? What do you believe that God has promised you? And why do you believe that? Is it in the Bible? Did God actually told you? You know, everybody believes something. Even the non-Christians believe in something. I mean, they believe that God is not true. That's what they believe. So it's not just Christians who believe things. Everybody believes something. And there is what we might call worldly faith. And so many churchgoers, they don't have ability to distinguish between the true faith and this worldly faith. This worldly faith is generated in man's sinful heart through his own will and desire. And many mistake this kind of faith as the true faith of Christianity. There are people in this world who are generally optimistic. It's not because they have great faith. They're just optimistic. There are people in this world who are generally positive, who have great patience to tolerate all kinds of things. Even if you're non-Christians, some of them have this. And there are people in this world that are so good at just accepting the things as they are. So they endure and they wait for the situation to get better. They try to have the positive attitude, positive thinking. And so many people mistake this as faith of Christianity. All this, they are from the will of men. Not this kind of faith is what the Bible calls faith. This kind of faith is not based on the redemptive works of God in history through Jesus Christ. See, they will even have a positive outlook, but has nothing to do with what Jesus has done or what Jesus has accomplished. Not based on Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for his people. This false faith is always this world centered. It is for the success of this world. You hear people say, I never lost my faith. And look what God has done for me. I never lost my hope. And look what God has given to me. I never lost my faith. When someone says this kind of things, what are the things that they say God has done for them or given them ultimately? Are not all those things the things of this world? The endless so-called Christian testimonials about the success in this world. And they all attribute their success to their faith. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? They believe in faith itself, not God, but faith in self. Just believe that God is going to do for you, and God will, they say. It is all about boasting how much faith I have. According to these people, that kind of faith is all that is needed to have everything that I want in this world. To them, faith is their ability to get what they want. And faith is measured by how much the things of this world one receives from God. More things you have, stronger faith you have. So many so-called Christian testimonials, so many books that we read these days, they want to show us that the measurement of God's love for us is based upon how much things of the world we have, how successful we are in this world. If I have a cancer, if I do not get into a good college, if my business bankrupts, if I don't have a good job, is it because of the lack of my faith? Is that what we believe? So all those people who die, they die because their faith is so small. Is this what the Bible teaches? No. If the fig tree is not blossomed, is it because I didn't have enough faith? If there is no fruit on the vines, is it because I did not have strong faith? If the yield of the olive fails, if the fields produce no food, if the flock is cut off from the fold, if there is no cattle in my stalls, are they because I do not have strong faith? Is that what the Bible is teaching? If there is no money in my bank account, if I do not have a good car, a nice house, then do all these things happen because I do not have enough faith? Is this what the book of Habakkuk is teaching us? But this is so many so-called Christians believe. When the Babylonians come and destroy Judah, is it because Habakkuk did not have enough faith? Obviously, no. But that question, that issue, do I love God or do I love things that He gives me? What if He doesn't give you anything? Will you still love God? Because He will give you eternal life. What do you believe that God actually promised you? Oh, so many people are mistaken. I don't know where they get that idea that God promised His people this world. According to these people, all Habakkuk had to do at this time, at the end of chapter 1, all Habakkuk had to do is believe that God would not destroy him and his country, right? Just believe! And when you have enough faith, God will not destroy, right? Everything will be okay. We will be successful, right? No. See, they say, I believe, and I never lost my faith, and because of that, just look at what God has done for me. Look at what I have now. We'll talk about this more next time, but that is the Old Testament faith, not the New Testament. To these people, their faith is their source of pride. But we are not like this, brothers and sisters. Our pride is our Lord Jesus Christ, who did not even have a place to lay His head. I mean, who's going to question faith that Jesus had? Of course, His faith is not about faith that is needed to be saved. But His trust in God, that faith. Who's going to question Jesus' faith? And yet, He was never successful in this world. He didn't even have a place to lay His head. What, is it because He didn't have enough faith? He did not have anything to speak of, even though He is the author and the perfecter of faith. When the Bible says the righteous will live by faith, it is not speaking of the false faith that is focused on this world. The true faith will never focus its eyes on this world and the things of this world. God promised us that He will provide all things that we need to live our lives in this world. He calls us not to worry about what to eat and what to drink, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you, He says. Our focus is on God's kingdom, heaven, and His righteousness. And all the things, and here all the things do not mean success or affluent. God might give you way more than you need, but He might not. We don't know that. But all the things that we need will be given to us. That is not our focus. Our focus should be seek His kingdom and His righteousness.
So true faith is always focused on Jesus Christ and His kingdom, not on things of this world. But so many so-called Christians, they use so-called their faith to gain this world. True faith will look to the other world, heaven. You know, you might be successful in this world. I'm not saying you will not. But that has nothing to do with Christianity. Even if you're non-Christian, I would say, you may be successful in this world. See, I don't make any distinction when I say that you may be successful, but whether you're Christian or not, doesn't matter. And I'm not saying that you always have to be poor if you're a Christian. No. You might be rich, but see, being poor or rich, that is not our focus. That is not our religion. We just trust God. At minimum, He will give us what we need to survive. But there are this wrong teaching out there that they use faith as an instrument to gain the world. I believe in the eternal, everlasting God. I believe in the almighty, all-knowing God. I believe in the holy and righteous God. I believe God loves me. Good. Now, that God that you say you believe, what did He accomplish for you? What is Him doing right now for you? What worldly things did He promise to you? Concerning worldly things, this is all He said. Don't worry. That's what He promised. Don't worry. But concerning heavenly things, oh, He promised you all things. He promised you the eternal life, the kingdom of God, and God Himself as your eternal inheritance. You know, there's a cheap Korean popular song, you know, those top 40 songs. It's a love song. And even in that worldly context, you know, guy says to girl, it doesn't matter, even if I don't have anything, I'll be so happy just with you. See, even that cheap worldly love, person can be happy with that other person and that other person alone. It really doesn't matter what you have. But, you know, after they get married, then things change, right? But how about God? What if we have God and God alone? That's it. Are we not satisfied? Is it God whom we love or things of this world that we believe God will give us? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, when you get seriously sick, when your business goes bankrupt, when things are not going according to your desires, how would your faith react? How? Look at Habakkuk in chapter 1. All will be well in this world. God will not let us, the righteous people, be destroyed by the wicked in this world. God will not let us down. No. God will not be silent. God will not let this happen because you, God, you are righteous God. Is this how you're going to do? How about you? How will your faith react when things are not just going well in this world? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, listen to what God says to you. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I say to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Listen to what God says to you. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have tribulation. It's not you may have tribulation. You have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. See, we endure for the glory that is to come. Thus we endure with joy, because we know what is coming. But it's not about what happens in this world. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. But it's not, I don't know whether you're going to be rich or healthy or whatever, but you're going to be okay. True faith wants heaven. True faith possesses heaven. And true faith witnesses the reality of heaven. Habakkuk still says, why? Do you still say, why? Because it's God's will for us. That is why. And so many times things happen bad, so-called bad, because of your laziness and your sins. But even then, God will use those bad things for your own good. But you should repent. You know, I don't want you to listen to my sermon. And even though you're so lazy and so, you know, sinful and all these things happen and you go, oh, Pastor Kim said, oh, yeah, it's all God's will. It's okay. No, no, that's your fault, too. You have to repent of your sins. But even then, for ultimate purpose of you becoming like Christ, God will even use that bad things in a good way. That is true, yes. But it shouldn't give you excuses for your laziness and sinfulness. But ultimately, we're going to be okay. I don't know what will happen to you tomorrow. But I know what will happen to you when you go to heaven. The true righteous people of God are the ones with true faith. The righteous will live by faith. We must believe and we must trust our God. Galatians 2:16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. Galatians 2:21, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Do you believe in him? And we're going to talk about what is faith next time. But it's not just about believing who Jesus is and what he has done. But you also must trust him. Then you are the righteous. And God will bless you. But you have to understand all that in terms of heaven, not terms of this world. Because righteous will suffer in this world. We believe in Christ in all of his eternal accomplishments for his people. We believe in him, we entrust ourselves to him, we trust him, and we witness the reality, the eternal reality of our eternal salvation. Habakkuk will learn in chapter 2. And we will meet Habakkuk with mature faith in chapter 3. Look at him in chapter 3. His focus is no longer on this world. It is so clearly different. You go home and read it. You don't see any complaints anymore in chapter 3. After in chapter 2, God responds, God replies, you know, Habakkuk for the second time. And he just completely changes. He understands. Habakkuk in chapter 3 sees his heavenly reality, his union with his God, even when he is utterly destroyed in this world. Even as he's being destroyed, he will never lose that focus on the eternal reality. Oh, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let us look beyond what our physical eyes can see. And with our spiritual eyes, let us see what our Lord has already accomplished and what we already possess in Jesus Christ. Let us lift our eyes off from this world and see the other world. For we do not have a lasting city here on earth, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died. You have died to this world. Your life is hidden. Your true life is hidden at this moment. Because who you are truly in Jesus Christ, no one is able to see with their physical eyes. When I look at you with my physical eyes, I don't see who you are, truly who you are in Christ. But if I see you with my spiritual eyes, you're a completely different person. You're a son of God. You are royal priesthood. You're his bride. You're his friend. You're glorious. You shine with God's glory forever and ever. Your life is hidden at this moment in Jesus Christ, with Christ in God. But it is not hidden to you who have true faith. I pray that your faith will grow, so that you are now able to focus on that glorious reality, eternal reality, which will never change no matter what happens in this world. Let me end this. Do you remember the fishing imagery in describing the conquest of the Babylonians? So in the Old Testament, this fishing imagery is a picture of the judgment of God. But look at what happened. That judgment of God is now in Christ, blessings of God for his people. Did you know that you and I, who were as wicked as the Babylonians, now we have become the fishers of men in Jesus Christ. We too go out to the all nations in the world and conquer. But not as the judgment of God, no longer. Because of Jesus Christ and what he has done, that fishing imagery is now a picture of God's blessing. God has made all of us the fishers of men. And we go out just like the Babylonians, but in a completely different context and different realm. And we also conquer. But not by might nor by power of this world, not by success of this world or by the wealth of this world. God is gathering his chosen people through the ministry of his church. Oh, brothers and sisters, who might be so poor and this church, we don't have much, but that is not why we cannot do the job that he is calling us to do. Brothers and sisters, you are the fishermen. And our weapon is God's word. And unlike Babylonians, we worship our God, not our wealth or power. And our boast is not our military might, but boast is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true fisherman. Fisher of the man, of men. It's just amazing grace has fallen upon us. You know, Habakkuk and you and I, we all deserve to be judged, just like the Babylonians. But we are saved. And we are made citizens of his kingdom. And this kingdom is furthering even at this moment. We are at war. And we go out with our weapon, God's word, and we conquer for the glory of God. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh Father, bless us with true faith, and with that faith that we may seek your kingdom and your righteousness. Oh Father, let us live by faith, not by sight. Live according to the reality of that eternal realm. Not by what we could see with our physical eyes. Oh, Father, let us never judge, never know, never understand anything according to this visible world, but according to invisible world, our eternal world, the reality of heaven. Let us live by faith. We love you, God. Bless us. And we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.